Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan
referred to myself, you know, in quotations, as Mike Magic Feet Mulligan.
Just listen to the guy sitting right next to you in the studio, Mully.
David Haw.
He's an Indiana boy.
David, I expect more from you. I love listening, but come on, stop it.
Thanks, Kevin. You make me laugh.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
If they do want to have a season, I think you got to sweep these guys. Statement game, White Sox. Come out and do something. Statement game time this weekend, 35th and Shield.
Popped up, third base side, Moncada has the shutout. Sox win over the Tigers.
This is a potential statement game.
Torkelson well off the line at first, and Tim takes the ball away and slightly gets away. Nobody can find it, and the mystery ball is a Sox win.
I think that the Sox could sweep Detroit at home after losing 3-4. It would be very White Sox-ish.
Gives Liam Hendricks a win today. Great way to cap the week.
Two games in a row for Liam. Line drive, grand slam. And the Sox sweep the series.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw. 5:30 till 10 a.m.
Cheeseburger.
On 670 The Score.
I think the statement is we're done. Nobody wants to admit it. Nobody wants to acknowledge it. They could sweep the Tigers, and I'm not sure I would change my mind.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. They did sweep the Tigers, and I don't think I changed my mind, Mr. David.
Morning, Mully. Happy Monday. Boy, that was an impressive sweep by the White Sox. Good for them. Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it,
yeah.
Because they
yeah.
did what they needed to do, and it was really a good example of the White Sox starting pitching, their pitching in general, being good enough in spurts to believe in something. I don't know quite what we're believing in, but you have to give them credit. They did make a statement. They did do what was necessary. They did sweep the Tigers. Congratulations on a home sweep and after a very good weekend. Very fun weekend in Chicago.
Yeah, both sides of town, really good baseball results. I don't know how else to term it. You saw Jameson Taillon have a good outing. I mean, that happened, okay? So that can happen again.
Now we go.
Now we go. He said to Rossi, very interesting that you finally got the right thing from him. Now, I don't know if anybody cares. I don't know if anybody's upset about it, but there was an issue with a particular pitcher who had to go on the injured list. And it was exactly what we had described and feared, this idea that you say a guy's fine and maybe he missed the start and then you got to put him on the injured.
Well, Justin Steele is going to miss a couple starts at least. Did you notice that inclusion of that term? At least two starts. 15 days on the IL, played catch in the outfield in San Diego on Saturday. And let's face it, there's going to be concern until he returns to the form that we saw him this season and the end of last, because he means so much to this team, not only now, but in the future. So they're being very deliberate. It's smart to do that. Take your time. But you're right. When you have a season that includes early positive prognoses for Nico Horner and Cody Bellinger, you're going to be in the wait-and-see mode for Justin Steele.
Yeah, I would say that when you kind of deal with all that stuff, that is what we all sort of agreed. We'll believe it's that he's healed, that he's fine when he's back on the bump.
Yep.
And he's not going to be back as quickly as we had hoped. And it was great that he did talk the night that he left the game, but he did go three innings and have to leave.
A lot, of concern and mystery, I think, surrounding that. You don't know how he's going to bounce back. Meanwhile, as you mentioned, the series began on Friday night. Tyone did what he needed to do. That was fun to watch. And yesterday, the Stroh Show out in San Diego.
That was great.
Continues to be must-see TV, and I think in must-listen radio, because Zach and Coombe did a terrific job. Stroman, now, over his last four starts, 1.24 ERA, 21 strikeouts. This guy looks like an ace. I love the fun he has, too. Did you see when he struck out Soto, and he did the little slide step or did the little and he's just a showman. He's backing it up. And the Cubs needed that one. I know they have the wraparound today, the four-game series, but it felt good to see them win two out of three.
And speaking of guys showing their stuff, how about Liam Hendricks with his Liam Hendricks bump, fist bump kind of deal after he went 1-2-3, and he ends up getting the win on Cancer Survivors Day. How appropriate was that?
Was perfect. Perfect timing, great outing. The White Sox win it in dramatic fashion,
right. And
he can have that day. He's going to, just again, every time you see him, he inspires somebody somewhere.
Yes.
And then when he does what he did on the field to back it up, and the symmetry of it being Cancer Survivors Day, that was just one of those days at Guaranteed Rate Field where you don't want to qualify the sweep. You don't want to have conditions on the victory. Well, it was against you. Just enjoy it because it was one of those days that was like a perfect Sunday for Sox fans.
Yeah, it was really nice. And the last two games of that series were walk-offs. If you could have a walk-off the way they walked off the first game. I mean, that was truly bizarre.
Knockouts.
You go to baseball games, and every once in a while you go to a game where you see something happen where you're like, Jesus, I've never seen that in a baseball game. It is extraordinary how they can, how just something different can happen. And in this game, it was an umpire getting a ball thrown right into his mask. And he was, I mean, that was scary. Like he got hit and he went down. I mean, it was like, it was almost cartoonish where he got thrown. There's no such thing as cartoon violence, right? I mean, you know, anybody that's ever been clocked in any way, there is an element of like, it's like a cartoon where you're literally like seeing stars, where there are, it's exactly what they show you in a cartoon, but not with the happy music. And that leaves a mark. I mean, that'll rattle your brain. That was scary.
It was scary.
To see.
It was scary to see him go down.
Yeah, the way he went down. And just then everybody kind of looking for him. First, they were looking for the ball because it ricocheted away, and the Sox scored the winning run as a result. But what a strange way to win a game.
Because it was a fastball, and it went over the catcher's glove. There seemed to be some sort of mix-up, and then the home plate umpire goes down. And all three runs in that 2-1 victory were scored via wild pitch. And that's never happened, I think, in baseball history, or hasn't happened since the modern era. And I don't think you'll see it again, because it was Blazer, the umpire, who went down. And it was, for a moment, pretty scary scene. You didn't know how badly. And then he didn't return on Sunday.
No, he wasn't feeling well.
And you wonder about the lasting impact, because umpires can go on concussion protocol too. And in this case, you understand why, because that was a fastball when the catcher apparently expected a curve, and boom, it got him right in the mask. And the Sox took advantage. And so they win in the most unusual fashion. It just you didn't think it was going to go that way, and you wondered about whether or not it was Makata that scored, correct?
Yes.
Was he going to make it? Did the ball get squared away enough for him to get there? Then they get there and you celebrate, but it's kind of a muted celebration because you're concerned about the umpire.
Well, Corey Blazer, again, he catches that one in his mask and he's thrown to the ground. I mean, it was like he really got walloped. And as you say, he was not available yesterday. So you worry about, like, of course he wasn't. You know, of course he was kind of shaken up by that. And they had to help him up and help him off. And, you know, it was really crazy wild.
Good to get a victory, though, in a game that Dylan Cease pitched that well. Only, you know, makes one mistake maybe. Michael Kopech again yesterday pitched very well, makes one mistake. Yep. But the White Sox picked him up in both cases. You get strong starting pitching Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. The way that the Sox did, you take advantage of it, and you feel good about, you know, even though the runs, you would like to have obviously scored more runs to be able more comfort.
10 runs.
How do you
and that included
in a sweep
Jake Berger's grand slam, walk off grand slam.
Did you love that though? After him hitting that, he's asked about it, and he said, "I thought it was a base hit off the wall, and I was just going to ground first." And all of a sudden, it goes out of the park.
Yeah,
so he's hitting line drive.
Yeah.
And 11 of his 12 home runs are in that ballpark.
Why didn't he start every game in that ballpark?
Well, that's a good question.
I'm sorry to throw that one in, but he started one of the games on the weekend. Doesn't he have to start all home games?
Yes, yes.
If he can hit home
Thank
runs
you.
And no one else is hitting
yes.
home runs?
Why wouldn't you have somebody who was that good on this stage be in there every act of the play? Come on.
Makes no sense to me at all that the guy hits that many homers, all of them at home, and, well, he hit one on the road.
We won't dwell on it now, but promise me we will get to this lineup segment of the program later, because both managers, as positive and encouraging as the weekend was, there were some head-scratching moments.
And how about this weird fact? Both teams are 5.5 off their division lead, even though the White Sox are 9 games under 500. And the Cubs aren't. The Cubs are doing better than that, but they are the same distance from the lead of the division, because one has a division opponent with 10 games over 500, and the other has the leader with 2 over 500.
The best thing you can say about each team at this stage of the season is that they are in winnable divisions or mediocre divisions. However you want to describe the word divisions. The Sox and the Cubs are in the same situation and a similar kind of reality, in that you don't have to maybe do everything that you want to organizationally, and maybe you're not going to max out. We talked about last week,
yeah,
the lowering of the standards. It depends on how you define success. If you define success as getting to the postseason or contending in a weak division, great. You're going to have it in 2023. If it is putting together a championship caliber team, probably not.
And it's going to be the Shohei Ohtani show coming up for the Cubs. That's going to be really interesting, because why are you shaking your head?
They moved him. They moved the pitchers.
Oh, they did.
They're missing him.
Well,
he's still going to hit, right? Yeah, well that's worth
just.
But I think we were talking about on this yes. earlier when he came to Chicago that they missed the pitching part of it.
Yes.
And now the Cubs are going to miss the pitching part.
Good.
Of it.
Yeah, that's good. But it should be a reminder to Cub fans. Hey, that guy's going to be available. Maybe as soon as the trade deadline. Don't you want him? Isn't, you know, Mr. David brought it up last week, that with Shohei Ohtani playing, damaging the White Sox, wouldn't you want that guy on the north side? And
hits well in Chicago.
And now that he's going to be playing against the North Siders, maybe all the fan base will rally. Maybe we can revisit that.
I think we can revisit that early and often during the series against the Angels.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but Aaron Judge bruised a toe or injured a toe?
Oh, my gosh.
Through the wall?
He injured the wall, too.
He injured the wall. No question about that. But he's probably going to be sitting down with a toe issue Rizzo's out already, right? Rizzo's not coming back. I know Stanton's coming back at some point.
What are you suggesting here, sir?
I'm saying maybe.
Do not say it.
Maybe the Sox can duck all those guys.
Oh, that's okay. All right.
Where did you think I was going?
I thought you were saying that the Yankees are going to make a play for Ohtani and get in front of the line of the Cubs.
Oh, God, no. No, I'm merely saying.
At the trade deadline.
I'm talking about the upcoming series for the team.
So you're living in the moment. I applaud that.
I thought you told me to do that.
I applaud that. We need to live in the moment more, and that's a good point because the Yankees could be compromised. They're not enjoying good health. Their outfield's kind of a mess right now, and the Sox are enjoy this because they're a little bit of a hot streak. They're only 9 games under 500. Go on a little bit of a streak, get closer there. And then what do we say? Talk to us at 500. When you're at 500, then we can determine what this season's going to mean.
Are they ever going to be at
500? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I'll finish the thought about, you know, depending on your definition of success. Here we are talking about what this means, the Cubs and White Sox both 5.5 games back in bad divisions. And we're talking about maybe just get to the postseason. Well, the NHL playoffs and the NBA finals, you know, the Stanley Cup final and the NBA finals both include 8 seeds. Can that happen in baseball? Is it more likely to happen in baseball? The randomness of the MLB playoffs.
Right.
Do you just want to be an 8 seed in 2023 and give yourself a little bit of hope to just get in the tournament and then maybe shock the world? That's what the Heat have done. That's what the Panthers are doing.
The Heat, you know, the old adage has always been that it's not a series until someone wins on someone else's court. Well, the Heat delivered the first victory in Denver against Denver in these playoffs. So the Nuggets now have lost. They now have proven to be vulnerable, and the series shifts to Miami on Wednesday, and now the Heat have got to figure out a way to win one in Miami.
I think that last night was, at least for me, and I think a lot of people watching, stunner. I just didn't think the Nuggets would respond at home in an NBA Finals environment and with the stakes as high as they were in the fourth quarter like they did. They seem shell-shocked.
Neither did Michael Malone.
Exactly. I love that postgame though.
Him have it. Oh yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, it was good.
You can't be questioning a team's effort at the NBA Finals level, and you shouldn't be wondering where the energy is coming from.
Right.
And he was doing both, and that was a difference. That mentality, that attacking mindset that defines the Heat was evident, especially in the fourth quarter, but even early on in the first, they came out more ready to play. For whatever reason.
Kevin Love.
What could be Kevin Love? How about?
Well, they came out with a different lineup, and they came out, whether anyone wants to admit it or not, there are two jokers. There is the joker you get when you try to double him, and he's always going to make the right basketball play. And then there's the joker you get when you almost dare him to score, and he's going to score. But you're more likely to win if he's the scorer as opposed to the facilitator. And they stopped running the doubles at him, and he got his points. He's a great player, but it changed the game, the fact that he wasn't the guy distributing the ball and getting the triple-double.
It changed the game because of the way that it affected the four other guys who were watching him.
Exactly.
And it became sort of, not by Jokic's design necessarily, it became hero ball a little bit because it was like, go get us a bucket, we need it. And Eric Spoelstra, I think, expertly mixed up his defenses between. It felt like I was watching a college basketball tournament game because you had these coach, you had Spoelstra and the Heat switching defenses from a zone to man, then a different type of zone. They're matching up here and there. And all of a sudden, you're like in the, you know, it's March Madness. You see that more often in college games with the switching defenses and the going from zone to man. And the Heat basically got the best of Jokic and the Nuggets because they determined, well, we're not going to double him all the time. We're going to pick our spots. And when they did that, well, he took advantage, but at what cost? Because other guys weren't getting involved. Meanwhile, the Heat role players stepping up. Strus in the first quarter, Duncan Robinson in the fourth.
Yeah, Duncan Robinson, man, where did that come from? He has not done that.
He's fearless.
In Denver, and all of a sudden, he did knock down some shots.
Fearless. 10 points in the fourth quarter. Yep. Max Strus, our guy, had 12 in the first.
Well, I know.
And he was 0 for 10 overall, 0 for 9 from 3 in game 1. Came out like that never happened. Never happened.
He is your guy. We have assigned him to you.
Thank you.
I appreciate you trying to share some of the glory with me, but that's your guy.
I like that guy. Look,
I know you do. He's your guy.
I know the family a little bit. I did a column with him when he was at DePaul. Communicated with the dad. It was before game, after game, between the games. I forget if it was Friday or Saturday.
Right.
And he's like, you know, a couple years ago, this might have affected his confidence. But he goes, this is before the game. I don't think it's going to affect him at all. He's in a very good headspace. I expect him to play well.
Yeah.
And he did.
Yeah, he did.
Then he goes out and he hits 4 threes in the first quarter like, oh, father knows best. Well done.
No shadow of a doubt. No shadow of a doubt. It's
good for Max.
It's good to call your kid shot. It's good. That's fine. So the Bears, we have a story here. We had a very strange story to come out on Friday. Did you consider that a news dump, or do you think that was more of a shot across the bow of the fine folks in Arlington Heights?
I think it was a combination of both. It is a great conversation and topic for June 5th in a sports town, because I don't know if it has much reality in terms of the Bears going to Naperville, but them taking a meeting with Naperville reminds everybody just how many hurdles the Bears have to clear or have to be cleared by both entities, Arlington Heights and the Bears, before this new stadium idea becomes something that is in front of us and we can see them breaking ground and anticipating a new home in the suburbs. It feels like a leverage ploy to me, and it felt like a Friday news dump to me, but I do think that we'll talk to Mark Gannis, who's the expert on this.
Yes.
There are a lot of elements that probably need to be discussed and maybe we took for granted that maybe we no longer can.
The big news with the Bears might be the travels of the quarterback. And that is
on the field.
That is a very, it is a really nice sort of issue to have, the quarterback traveling around to different teammates' charity outings and being available to sign an autograph or whatever. I just think it matters that the guy cares that much to do that kind of stuff and travel all over the place. He went to Jalen Johnson's charity golf outing, and he's going to go to Eddie Jackson's. I mean, it's the idea that he's available for his teammates probably makes him a more lovable figure than he already is, if that's possible, because he seems to get along very well with his teammates.
It helps when he has that natural leadership quality, and it really helps when your quarterback, your franchise player, views his role as part ambassador, whether it's to the fans or his teammates.
That's right.
You need to send a message that chemistry matters. Camaraderie is something that they care about at House Hall, the culture, if you will. And you can talk about culture a lot, and it can mean something when you have your quarterback spending part of his time off, instead of, a weekend in Chicago enjoying the beautiful weather and maybe even a Taylor Swift concert. I don't know. But Justin Fields flew out to Fresno. I know he was golfing. It's not like he's, punching a clock or anything, but it's still a statement. And the statement is, I care about you guys. I'm the leader of this team, and this is cool.
One of the greatest gifts you can give someone is your time. It really is. And now I get it. He's not a married guy with a bunch of kids, whatever it might be. And it seems like fun to be able to do something like that. And he's young enough to jump on a plane, play a round of golf, come back, and feel fine.
Boom. But no problem.
It's still the gift of time. It's giving someone the respect of your time, and it's a really nice little thing to do for someone.
It's a really nice way to put it, and I also think that when you look at what else it does, is it earns him the benefit of the doubt through some difficult times because people find him likable, and I think his personality, and when you hear him talk about his obligation that he feels to his teammates and the friendships that they have, as fellow Bears, it does make you root for a guy. It makes him, and we have been through this enough in this town with certain guys or certain quarterbacks that aren't as likable. It helps when you have one who is. Yeah. It just does.
It's true. All right, we got the pick six next. We're going to pick apart all the stories of the weekend, and we'll do it next. It's Mully and Haw. It's the Chicago Sports Radio 6-7 in the Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
How did the White Sox manage to sweep the Tigers while scoring just 10 runs this weekend, including a walk-off grand slam from Jake Berger, the only Sox homer in three games? What was your biggest takeaway?
Well, obviously the walk-off wild pitch, I guess, the one that ricocheted off the umpire that we talked about earlier, that was the craziest thing I've seen. And you mentioned the runs in a game all scored on wild pitches. You watch a lot of baseball over the years, you're not going to see that very often. That is a very odd occurrence, especially to have the game-winning run go off the umpire's mask. It was crazy, and that was a big takeaway. You know, that Detroit team did not score any runs, and I don't know if that means the Sox pitching is back, and that's, but they were outscored 10-2. So you won three games, and obviously one of them was a grand slam. But you only needed 7-2, I suppose, because you could have gotten just a home run there instead of the 10. But that doesn't seem normal. That doesn't seem sustainable, that you can win games without scoring runs. You just have to rely on your opponent to be even worse with runners in scoring position. And that seemed to be the case. They allowed one home run all the whole series, and it didn't hurt him. So I guess my takeaway is probably just the oddity of baseball, the weird randomness of the game because of the way they won on Saturday.
Well, let's stick with Saturday's game then for a second. All three runs scored.
Yes, I said. Wild pitch.
Yeah, I mean, even the Tigers.
I know.
I mean, it's just.
Does that ever happen? Did anyone see that?
I don't believe so.
That's crazy.
What else did you see, Dustin?
I saw a sweep. I saw a team that needed to do what they needed to do, and they did it. You know, they walked the you know, they actually
can't
went out and took
tongue?
Care of business.
Sox sweep, you got nothing to say?
Yeah.
I think I predicted a Sox sweep.
Well, you were right. There it is. Dustin was right. I said it.
One time.
I think what it's reinforced is that.
You ever
number
seen
one,
that before?
Was no, I never have seen that before. That's another thing I haven't seen before this weekend. Dustin was right. Okay, sorry. This White Sox team in this division just reminded us that they are in this division and they do believe that they can make something of this season. And I also think that from a baseball perspective, see, that's kind of intangible. That's going to be something that the manager has to keep the message consistent. And I think he has done a nice job of trying to stay positive through this really difficult start. On the field, though, what happened was it reminded you that when the White Sox starting pitchers are pitching as well as they're capable, this is a pretty good team. Can be a pretty good team. Clevinger on Friday, Cease on Saturday, and Michael Kopech yesterday. Now, if Lance Lynn can, you know, figure it out at some point in time, it'd be nice this season. Lucas Giolito certainly is a guy that's off to a pretty good start, but this starting pitching is going to be what carries the White Sox as far as they're going to go, and that certainly was the case in this three-game sweep, more than anything else in this sweep against the Tigers.
That's a wonderful question. I will take some time with it.
That's Steve Stone. He's on with you guys at 9 o'clock. Which was bigger, Liam Hendricks getting a victory on Cancer Survivor Day or Jake Berger hitting the walk-off grand slam to let the White Sox sweep the Tigers? And if this was a statement series, as Dustin, I won't stay out of White Sox business road suggested, what did a sweep say?
Well, I'll start there. I think it's good that you're sticking your nose into White Sox business because it was something that they took seriously. They wanted to make a statement that they're not done yet. They're in a, you know, the last time that they will see a division opponent until July 21st. They wanted to leave with the message that this is a division that they can contend in. And looking at the teams in that division, I get it. I understand that, especially after beating the Tigers three in a row. As for the significance of Sunday, tough call because Jake Berger is one of the more dangerous hitters in his home park in baseball. If he could play every game, boy, the possibilities with Jake Berger, he should never be out of the lineup in a home game for the White Sox. But Liam Hendricks capped an emotional week in the best possible way. The symmetry of him getting the first victory of the season on Cancer Survivors Day, it just doesn't get any better than that. From a storyline perspective, from a baseball perspective, because of what he was able to do on the mound to enjoy all the attention that he deserved. So I will give Liam Hendricks the nod over Jake Berger, even though both guys, they're going to remember that one for a while.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder how many White Sox fans watching that game yesterday thought, do we pinch hit for Jake Berger before he hits the grand slam? I mean, he had struck out three times. He'd had a 5-strikeout game not too long ago. So he did do his thing, I guess, at 35th and Shields. It was really cool, Liam Hendricks. Not only that, but high-pressure situation, the you know, air quotes, the heart of the Tigers lineup coming up to bat, strikes out two of the three guys he faces, is totally pumped, totally jacked up. It's Liam Hendricks for me.
I mean, obviously, Liam Hendricks is you know, it's a bigger story than just the game. But, Berger did get him that. And Berger did underscore that he needs to be in the lineup more often at home in particular because that seems to be where he hits his home runs. And I think there are very few players that can end a game in the fashion in which they did so. So I think it's you know, I think it's a worthy topic of conversation about when you have him in the lineup, and it's got to be every home game, basically. If he can hit home runs, he can change games. And what was, you know, team go long, right? What was it? Rick Hahn said something along those lines.
Ball go far, team go long?
I don't know what the hell he said. He said something at one point.
Something about a parade?
You know, the other thing that stood out, and I mean, obviously, it's Liam Hendricks, but it was great for Berger to do that, is Javi Baez just lost the plot as a ball player. He had a terrible series.
He had a bad series, but he came in a little bit hotter than he had been. He had responded to the benching by A.J. Hinch, but this was not his best series.
No, he did not have a good series.
By the way, just to close the loop on what happened Saturday, we talked about it. Elias, according to Elias Sports Bureau, this was the first MLB game in the live ball era since 1920 in which at least three runs were scored and all were either on a wild pitch or pass ball.
Wow, that's a good question.
That's John Heyman. He's here 7:25 of all the starting pitching performances from this weekend between both sides of town. Do you believe Jameson Taillon was the most significant? He went 5 2/3, allowed one run, 3 hits, 3 Ks, 0 walks. What do you make of him telling David Ross after the game, "Now here we go"?
You know, I got to tell you, Taillon, just it was a relief to know that he can pitch like that still, because he hasn't. They lost every start he was involved in, right? So it felt more just a relief that the guy they gave the money to, that they brought in, that he could go, you know, have a quality start. And and he only allowed a run and no walks was huge. It just more than being impressed by his start, I felt relieved. Like, oh, thank God, you know, this guy is not going to be, we've talked about it, you're stuck. There was nothing you could do. You had to just keep rolling him out there. And finally, you got a little bit of the guy you thought you were signing. So that's an excellent turn of events and a very significant one. And for that reason, as good as all the other performances were, and I thought that that Stroman, again, was just fantastic. There were great pitching performances on both sides of town throughout the weekend. But the relief factor, and I just mean the exhale that you got with this guy actually being able to pitch was significant to me.
Dustin?
We had a little technical issue. Yes, I know. Well, here I am. It's going to be okay. Jameson Taillon was spectacular.
Hey, you don't mess with it, okay?
I'm so sorry, I mean, man.
Back off.
The dramatic pause.
Oh, here we go again.
He was good. But then Saturday happened, which was really bad. And then Sunday happened, which was good. So it's just this ebb and flow of the Cubs. I guess here we go only meant for him, not for the Cubs, because Saturday was just an embarrassment all the way around. David had a good text with us in our text group on Saturday. It was just absolutely oof. But luckily they've won 2 out of 3, so we don't have to talk about it. He needed that. The Cubs needed it. And I hope he keeps saying it. Now here we go. Now his next start just becomes that much more of a big deal because you want to see if he can carry it into another game.
I have a question, Dustin, for you.
Uh-huh. Sure.
You said the "here we go" was referring to him and not the team. Didn't you believe that was referring to him and not the team? I mean,
I was hoping the fact that he finally delivered was going to be like, here they all go, like.
Oh.
And it was just such a let. Saturday was such a letdown after you felt really good Friday night. Saturday was just miserable.
I just felt that when
I'm
he
sure
said
it was
that,
all about him.
When
but
he said
I was
that,
hoping,
he meant here comes, here I come.
Yeah, here he comes.
Our,
yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that on Friday night you felt a huge sense of relief that Jameson Taillon finally was doing something to justify that $68 million contract.
Right.
And it looked like before that point he was going out almost every time and a little anxiety and stress, even though he's a 31-year-old veteran who's been around the block a couple times, the weight of that contract he seemed to be taking to the mound with him. Very efficient on Friday night against a pretty good Padre team. So that was important. So was Sunday. Marcus Stroman doing what he did reminded everybody of, I think, the urgency the Cubs have about his future. You want to lock this guy up before he opts out and goes for nothing, or before you get to the point where you're sellers. His status is something you're going to think about the more that he succeeds. And he is having one of those years. The clear ace of the staff, all-star caliber start to the season. Marcus Stroman, the Stro Show, was worth watching, even with all the little celebrations. I love the antics. I love the emotion he pitches with. As for Saturday, yes, what I texted was that lineup. If I were Drew Smyly, I would find my MLBPA representative and file a grievance. That was lack of support. That was negligence. If I'm Drew Smyly going to the mound with that lineup, with Mastroboni at the top, please, David Ross, explain that one. But they did win two of the first three. They've got a chance to win three out of four with the professor on the hill tonight. But Saturday was a rough one. I agree.
And that's a pick six.
Where are you with your NBA Finals prediction after two games? What has been the most obvious takeaway as the series gets ready to head to South Florida?
Well, I think I said Nuggets in six. I'll stick with that, I guess. Very uncertain, a lot more uncertain than it felt like after game one, when I think we talked about, well, Nuggets in three. Different team, different mentality. And the Heat reminded everyone, America, last night, why they are where they are. Doesn't matter if they're an eight seed. Doesn't matter if they're full of undrafted guys on the bench. Doesn't matter what role they play. They always take the court with high intensity and a sense of purpose. The Nuggets did not. That was a difference in game two. And the guys who contributed to this victory the most, who they could not have done it without, Gabe Vincent. Oh, my gosh. That's a G League guy that signed with the Heat in 2020. Can the Bulls find one of them to run the point? How about that? That's player development. Max Strus, our guy, my guy, starting off with 12 points in the first quarter, and Duncan Robinson with 10 in the fourth. These are role players lifting this team and winning a game, stealing one on the road. Now you got a series. Now you got best of five, and the Heat have home court advantage. I don't think I'm going to change my prediction, but I think I would now be less shocked if the Heat stun everybody and win an NBA championship. I didn't think it was possible after game one. Last night, maybe a little bit more so.
We have a series. It was a fun one. Heat get out early to a lead. Nuggets come right back. Nuggets are leading at the half. They're leading going into the fourth. And you're thinking, okay, Nuggets maybe in five. Maybe, Heat will win one in Miami based on what. And then, boom, as you just said, David, now we have a series. And that's good. Now we have a series. That's good. I'm hoping now that we get seven games. That's what I'm hoping. And I had a look. Back in the day, it used to be 2-3-2. So it's back to 2-2-1-1-1. They used to have they play three at home. So they don't do that anymore. So that would have been kind of fun to see if all of a sudden the Heat could have, gentlemen sweep the other way, right? After everything we had talked about. But it's good for basketball that it's not blowout city. That was a good game. Wednesday's not that far away. So, again, we're not having 3 days off in between games, which I think is ridiculous. If anything, the Nuggets should be upset about that. I think if there weren't as many days in between, maybe the Nuggets would have won that game. But I think the Heat got adjusted to that altitude and got their legs underneath them and whatnot.
Yeah, I felt even after game one that the Heat were a live underdog. Right, I didn't think the series was over, but I did get the sense that a lot of people did, that the way that the Nuggets played and the way the Heat played, there was not going to be any way that shifted. The difference, I think, was Miami hit some of their open shots. They had missed so many open shots in the first game. It was kind of crazy. And then all of a sudden, they got back to hitting some shots. Using Kevin Love was interesting because he gave them not only some shooting, but size in particular, right? They looked smaller, and they were going with a smaller lineup in the first game. So I think that's really quite interesting to see. I think the Nuggets are the better team, so I'm staying with the Nuggets. But you're right. I mean, you go to Miami, and now it's two games there. Who knows? It is a very difficult thing to win an NBA Finals, and it's going to push you to the limit. And now we got a series. You know, the series begins when one team wins on another team's floor. Let's see how this works out. It's fascinating.
So that's a reason this is the best sports show in Chicago. Nobody else is asking that question, and it's actually a really good question.
That's Mark Gannis, business expert. He will be here 8:25. How did you interpret Friday's Bears news dump that the team plans to meet with Naperville about potential stadium site after recent tax assessment developments convinced the Bears that Arlington Heights is no longer is their, and we quote, singular focus?
Yeah, I found it interesting that they took that meeting. I found it interesting, you know, how upset they are over the property tax issue. And I think it's fascinating to think long term what the Arlington Heights school system expects to get out of this thing and potentially can get out of this thing. So I think that, you know, they didn't take a meeting with the new mayor. They didn't want to hear about the $1 billion stadium that could be produced at Soldier Field. They seem like they're now looking at other places in Illinois. Did I read this correctly? Did the mayor of Naperville send them a letter last week? And this coincided with them having this tax increase. So were there back channel? Hey, why don't you send us a letter?
Yeah,
are they acting like, well, we had been singularly focused, now we've opened up our... I still don't think this is real. I think this is leverage. I think they're looking to try to raise the possibility that maybe they're not going to move into that property. But I still think that's their primary goal, and I think that will happen. But I'm willing to play along if that's what they want me to do. Okay. Where in Naperville? What are you going to do? How's that going to work? You ever been to Naperville? I mean, I spent about 6 months out there one afternoon because the infrastructure doesn't seem like it's built for a giant suburb. I'm not being mean about it. That happened. I went out to some furniture outlet or something, and good God, that, you know, you got to build more roads, man. It is really hard to get around there on a weekend.
Well, if Naperville is a possibility, then why isn't Elmhurst? Then why isn't Oswego? Then why isn't Batavia? There are all kinds of suburbs that have areas if you're knocking things down, buying things. I mean, between North Avenue and Butterfield Road down Route 83, there's all kinds of things you could knock down and repurpose and put a stadium up. So, sure, it's leverage. They're playing. They've got a stadium right now. They have a place to play. Who's to say they don't end up staying here.
Not economically feasible to stay at Soldier Field. That's not in their best interest. But your point about every municipality seeing what Naperville did now has an open door and an invitation to send a letter through back channels and say, hey, what about us?
Right.
Why not? And did you see there was a politician from Rockford who said, come on down. We're ready for you. We'll embrace the Bears and the idea of building a stadium, the Rockford Bears. It seems silly and ridiculous, but it is all part of a bigger picture. It is all part of the bigger plan. It's the same plan, just maybe different kind of rules now or different kind of things on the itinerary. This is leverage. This is the Bears meeting to say that not singular. That it's not their singular purpose in Arlington Heights because of the difference in the tax assessment. They thought it would be around $37 million, came in at $95. That's a big difference. Kevin Warren now has an obligation to remind people why he's here, to navigate things like this. But if you want to really have a leverage ploy, don't meet with the mayor of Naperville. Meet with the mayor of St. Louis. Meet with the senator from Missouri. They need an NFL team. You want to be serious about moving the Bears? Okay, that would get my attention.
No.
That would submarine the value of the franchise.
I know, but there's
Decatur State.
There's
League?
Probably as much chance of that happening in Decatur or in St. Louis as is building a stadium in Naperville, which underscores the idea that this is just a leverage ploy, and we'll see where this goes.
I mean, Naperville's still part of Chicago, right? The Chicago area, as much as Arlington Heights is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
It's just significantly
sure.
farther away.
Well, it's
than,
further away, and there's different
Lake Forest
realities yeah. with the transportation and and access and everything. There are elements in Naperville that people would argue could be more appealing.
Oh, yeah.
But
I got friends who live out there. It's just too damn far away.
I mean, yeah, I feel like I answered this question earlier.
What did you think of Justin Fields showing up at Jalen Johnson's golf outing in Fresno over the weekend?
You know, whenever you get to surround yourself with people like that, you know, so that's what I try to do. And, of course, that's why you see me here today. But, yeah, I mean, Jalen's a great guy. Of course, we all know he's a great football player. And, yeah, his family's amazing. First time really, you know, getting to meet, you know, his family, his outer family like that. So it was great meeting them today. And, you know, we've been having a good time out here. So it's been good.
Is Fields' obvious support of a teammate something the Bears need to remember when dealing with Johnson's absence from OTAs?
I do wonder what he shot during the golf tournament with all that wind in the background. Had to be tough to get a drive on the fairway. I think Jalen Johnson is popular with his teammates. I think that any reactions or emotions that we've had in terms of him missing OTAs is probably something that is overstated outside the locker room. Inside, as Justin Fields, leader of that team, showed, he's a popular guy. They'll fly out to California to prove it. And that's great in terms of Justin Fields, as we said earlier, when your best player, your franchise quarterback, is also a leader, somebody who considers his role as part ambassador. Yeah, it's a good thing. It was a good weekend for the Bears.
Well, maybe Justin Fields should be involved in the negotiations. Maybe he negotiated with Jalen, said, hey, listen, I'll show up to your golf outing if you promise to show up for the last week of the OTAs.
Yeah, I mean, look, let me tell you something about a golf outing in Fresno. That is voluntary, okay? You can't expect someone to just turn up at that, and he just turned up at it. So that is that's a real tip of the cap. That's doing a large to it for a teammate. So that's a big deal to me. I think that's great. I think the same thing with his future plans with Eddie Jackson. Voluntary.
What do you think is harder, getting to Fresno or Naperville?
That's very interesting. I'm not quite sure. I think, you know, the beauty of getting to Fresno is you just fly there. Naperville, you're kind of driving. And like I said, the infrastructure just needs an upgrade. It's just, what is the one big street in Naperville? Dustin, you ever go out there? We're on that main drag.
Route 50. Well, I mean, there's Route 59 out there.
But it's like it's almost like a two-lane. It was just packed. It was packed on the weekend. It's like they need another road put in. That's all I'm saying. Not trying to insult anybody. All the fine folks in Naperville. We have a suggestion here at Joliet. They got that Chicagoland Speedway there.
Why not?
Take a meeting.
Northwest Indiana. Come on down.
Do you remember years ago they talked about the Bears in Hammond or something?
Gary.
It was a Gary? And they were gonna have like an ice cutter go through Lake Michigan to bring some of the people from the North Shore.
There were T-shirts. Bigsy sent me a picture of a T-shirt from the Gary Bears over the weekend.
Oh,
if I wanted to get in line.
That's so funny. Yeah. All right, there we have it. That is the Pick Six. We do have the extra point, and it's a good one. You're not going to believe what you're going to hear next because it's something we've heard about, but it's significantly better. We'll talk about that and the extra point. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
In a revealing interview on Inside the Clubhouse, Haw Carrollson reiterated that he feels like the White Sox retired him more than he chose to retire.
I was retired. I didn't retire. I was retired.
What do you think about what Hawk had to say on that or his explanation of why he hopes Jerry Reinsdorf will soon sell the Sox?
Really enjoyed talking to Hawk on Saturday with Bruce. It was an interview I thought was necessary after the comments came off in AJ's podcast about Jerry Reinsdorf should sell the team and also being pushed out of the booth. I asked Hawk directly as a follow-up if any White Sox executive had ever said to him, it's time to go. If he felt like any one person or individual that pushed him out and kind of, you know, he made him retire before he was ready. And he said no. And I think that's what was – it was great to talk to Hawk, but there was a little bit of a sadness attached to the entire interview from my vantage point, only because I think that he felt like he acknowledged it being awkward or feeling awkward once he reduced his schedule and Jason Benetti stepped in and certainly has taken advantage of that opportunity, and he's a highly respected broadcaster across the country. But Hawk didn't feel comfortable, and he felt like it was time to go. Also, he felt the need to apologize to Jerry Reinsdorf because of what he said on the podcast, suggesting that he should sell the team. And what he meant to say, from what I inferred from what he told us, was that he was concerned about Jerry Reinsdorf's health at this stage of his life and whether or not it was all worth it. So Hawk was very contrite, I felt like, and he was very candid as well when he was talking about the baseball team. The funniest thing was when he said, I asked him to assess this season. He says he goes to the grocery store and people ask him about the White Sox, and he says, I just tell them they suck. And that was before the sweep, but that was vintage Hawk. So it was a very good time to catch up with Hawk, but I felt a little bit of sadness after the interview.
I think Hawk's good for baseball. I think Hawk was good for the White Sox. I think he was a great ambassador and spokesperson for the White Sox, but obviously they decided that it was time for a change. Maybe the booth wasn't getting along as famously as they had hoped. There's always been tension that you could see and hear between him and Steve Stone in that television booth. Maybe that had something to do with it. But I always like to hear what Hawk thinks about the White Sox.
Yeah, I enjoyed hearing the interview. I feel bad that Hawk feels that way, that he was retired. I think they went to great lengths to not make him feel that way while he may well have been retired. But I hate hearing that, frankly. I've got a lot of time for Hawk. I've always enjoyed him. I still have a lot of his sayings kind of in my baseball vocabulary. I also think that his explanation of his concern for Jerry Reinsdorf's health is interesting to me. I know a lot of people that want Jerry to sell the team that has nothing to do about concern for him. They just want, they've had enough and they want Jerry to sell the team, frankly, because there aren't many people out there that Jerry is not 100% loyal to. And unfortunately, you wonder if that's a one-way street and if that loyalty is disloyal to the fan base. I also believe that his explanation of what's going on with the Sox is very accurate. And I am not taken in by the victory, the sweep of a bad Detroit team. Any team that is in the division is bad. So it doesn't overwhelm me. And I think his assessment is pretty accurate.
Yeah, it's just something to hear somebody who is in the Baseball Hall of Fame, so has achieved a degree of baseball immortality, sound like there's still something incomplete in the way that he remembers his career. That's what I felt like when I refer to being sad. The Reinsdorf stuff is, you know, when you talk to people in his circle, and Hawk being in his circle, are going to probably have those kind of concerns. Whereas we're going to look at it as like, just sell the team. For the good of everybody. Just give somebody.
Including you.
If that helps, great. If that helps you find a reason, go.
And listen, it's hard to know when to stop. If you've done nothing else and you feel that this is kind of your calling, it's hard to know when to stop. But I don't think, you know, Jason Benetti's a beast. Didn't he do both those games? Was that on Friday where he did?
Saturday. He did both games,
he did,
I believe.
The double duty. Yeah.
One was in person, one was remotely.
Yeah, one was remotely.
He did a Cubs and Sox game both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
He does a lot. He's very active, and he does a lot of travel in the offseason, does a lot of college football, NFL. Yeah, takes advantage of that. So.
No question.
Hawk is somebody who definitely – pays attention, though, and I didn't know how closely he was paying attention while he's between, you know, Walker Texas Ranger episodes and whatever else he's watching in his spare time over in Northwest Indiana.
Yeah, I got a lot of time for Hawk. I mean, he's, like I said, he's like a big part of my kind of baseball lexicon.
as you can imagine, the reaction to it in real time was pretty polarizing.
Sure.
Both sides. Hawk is the soundtrack of my childhood. Great to hear him again. We love hearing Hawk Mercy, right? And then the other guys, why are you having him on?
Right.
Why are you having Hawk on?
Why he's a perfect guest.
That's why he's a perfect guest, because you get both sides polarized.
And you get a defense of the White Sox from him, and you also get, you know, some reality and truth about what the situation is.
There's no indifference.
No.
I don't know that Hawk has ever said, I don't know.
That's not in the lexicon. All right, 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score.
Hawk, what's wrong with our socks? What's wrong with our socks? You know. And I just tell them we suck. It's just that simple.
Holmes at first, two away. In the top of the third, Amaya swings, drills one deep left center field. There it goes. Goodbye. Miguel Amaya with his first big league home run. Big time shot to left center. And the Cubs are pouring it on. 7-0 now over the Padres here in the third.
The Great Clip of the Week is brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's going to be great. And Miguel Amaya brought up to fill the roster spot that was vacated when a little IL stint was needed for Justin Steele.
Mm.
Interesting to bring a catcher up.
Very interesting.
From a pitcher's trek to the IL.
Didn't see that one coming, did you?
I didn't see Miguel Amaya being the guy that
I didn't either.
Up.
But he'd been red hot.
Yes, he had been. And there's his first major league homer.
He was a DH. Mm-hmm. So all the raving, and I think deservedly, the compliments that he drew after his first stint behind the plate, I thought he'd come back and maybe they'd give him a chance right away to catch. But Yan Gomes was going to catch Stroman. Makes a lot of sense. And Amaya was in the lineup as a designated hitter.
Right.
And then what did he do? 3-for-3. Pretty good. Home run. First career. He rises to the occasion. This is somebody you like to see in a Cub uniform. I do wonder this. What happens when Steele comes back in 2 weeks? If Amaya is still hitting, what does that mean for Tucker Barnhart, perhaps? I don't know, but can you carry three catchers on this roster?
They did earlier, and then they didn't. So probably not, really. If you're
makes you wonder. I think Barnhart is not somebody that you are going to get much out offensively from at all. And that's like, That's not why he's here, but can you afford to have that automatic of an out in a lineup that has maybe a couple other automatic outs at any given time?
When you got like whatever it is, 3 or 4 guys batting under 150.
When your leadoff hitter's hitting .160,
there you go.
I don't know that you can afford to have your catcher hitting the same.
Ron's on the south side. Hey, Ron, how are you, buddy?
Good morning, guys. David, as usual, great show Saturday. And I really enjoyed the interview, so I'm just going to give a couple of opinions. All I can say, guys, listen to him imagine on one of my favorite plays, Death of a Salesman. That's what happens. your time comes, and you have to go. So, but maybe the two things I really got was when he mentioned Jason Benetti. I mean, he knew eventually he was going to go, but when you just see your replacement – it's like they're like, well, maybe you need to jump before we push you. I mean, that's just the way it is, guys. But another thing that he mentioned, and I appreciate his honesty, you all, his assessment of Tim Anderson. But just overall, the disappointment in the team. But when he said that Tim Anderson, he really thought that he was going to be the leader of this team. He really sounded very, very disappointed. So those are my things. But again, it was a great interview. I don't think he would have wanted to go out that way. And I think he's kind of provided a little coverage. Jerry Reinsdorf has been a good friend for him and gave a little more clarification. So, but again, it was a great interview. You all have a good day. And one last thing, Molly, that those three games didn't do a lot for me. Because guess what? The real games get started tomorrow.
That's right.
You all have a great day.
Thanks, Ron.
Thanks, Ron. Appreciate it.
Yeah,
and
thank
I guess,
you very much.
I guess both Rizzo
Judge.
No, the other guy, Giancarlo Stanton, are back
right.
in the lineup.
Yeah, Judge they're coming back. Yeah, I thought
back.
You. Were...
But I'm saying, you know, don't they have time to get used to being back? Won't they struggle?
Take a few more days. How about the comment about Tim Anderson? I did sense the disappointment in Hawk's voice when he's making general observations, big picture conclusions or opinions, and one of them was that T.A. has not developed into the kind of a leader consistently that he expected when he burst onto the scene. I thought that was very interesting.
312-644-6767. Let's try Kevin. Kevin is in Palatine. Hi, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. David, you made me giggle this morning when you said that Smiley should have reached out to the Players Association, because I didn't know who I could reach out to Saturday night. But when I saw this lineup, and Mully, you just said it. When you start Mastroboni, Rios, Mervis, and Barnhart, even if they bat four times, that's 16 outs. That's literally four guys you started that hit 157, 07. I don't understand why Edwin Rios is even on this team. Why isn't Nelson Velasquez up here? Matt Mervis, but let me get to Tucker Barnhart because we already DFA'd our first baseman. When you watch Amaya play and you see this young, fast bat ripping, and everyone says he calls a good game. Why? And then Ross keeps saying, well, I need Mastroboni because I need a lefty up top. But a bad lefty is still a bad lefty. The guy stinks. It's not his fault. He's just not good. Or put Tauchman up there. At least he puts the bat on the ball. But I am losing faith in Ross by the day. And the other person I'm losing faith in is if they trade Stroman, after watching, I know Dustin hates him, but after watching what you, Darvish, did to this team Saturday night, if you think you're going to get away and us Cubs fans are going to put up with this, that you're going to put us another 3 years back for a bunch of other guys that we'll never hear of, like Ricketts got some good faith with getting Swanson and some of these guys. You have to sign Stroman, and you have to go out and make another couple. We need a first baseman. We need a third baseman because clearly they don't have faith in Wisdom. And we need – I don't care if you move Bellinger to first and pay him. We need to pay a lot more guys. We need way more Dansby Swanson. Dansby Swanson is a top 10 player in baseball by WAR right now. We need way more of that. We need to get all these stiffs off this team. I don't care how good Barnhart is. He has to go, guys. He has to go. He can't hit.
I don't disagree with that, Kevin. Thanks for the phone call. It's very interesting what you say about Stroman. I do think that when you look at the way he's pitched this year and again yesterday, it just makes you feel like, boy, I hope he doesn't get away. Because we did see Darvish on Saturday night, and he was the one that got away. I think when you look at the Cubs' recent history, Mully, post-Madden era, if you will, or maybe even connected to that time, there's a before and after. And it's almost like before and after the Darvish trade. So when you see him, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that's how good he can be. Because he was that guy in Chicago, and then they traded him for a lot of lottery tickets. And then it was the beginning of the rebuild, the second phase, right? Phase two. And so you see Darvish, and then you see a day later Stroman. You're like, don't let that happen again. Keep a guy who is performing up to his potential in the fold and pay him whatever he needs to be paid to stay here.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw. We're talking baseball on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.